In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus, we adore you. We thank you for the opportunity to come together with others in the community of faith. And we look forward to learning about how one person can have a positive impact on the world. As we listen to this talk, please help us to be open to anything that you may wish to share with us through the words of our speaker today.
You have given each of us a particular role in that world, a role which only we can fill. Please help us to discover our role within your plan. May it bring others closer to you and further your kingdom on earth. Please bless the message and the one who delivers it as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, ladies. It's my pleasure to introduce Catholic Charities of Summit County Site Director, Tess Flannery, who will introduce our special speaker.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm excited to be here today to talk about one of our favorite flagship programs, Camp Christopher. It's my honor today that I'll be introducing my colleague, Olivia Mackey, who's the director of Camp Christopher. I'm also excited to see so many high school students here because I don't know whether you realize it, but the impact you guys make on our services in terms of all the volunteer hours you guys do really help us stay afloat. And so whether you've been to many of these before or this is your first time, I'm so glad you all made it today because you guys are a big part of what we do. So I want to tell a little bit about Olivia before we get started. Olivia began her Camp Christopher experience in the best possible way and in the best possible time, and that was as a kid. She was a camper long before she became a staff member, but then in 2015, she became a counselor and steadily moved into roles with increasing responsibility every year. When she was in she went to Walsh University, where she was in the honors program and studied community clinical psychology and criminology and criminal justice. After receiving her bachelor's degree, she also received her master's in counseling and is now a licensed clinical mental health counselor and a school counselor. While she was in school in her master's degree, she served as our interim director through the summer of 2021. And then in March of 2022, she became our full-time director. Olivia has a passion for seeing youth thrive, and that's why having her at Camp Christopher at this time is so critical. As everybody knows, you know, we hear it every day, the mental health crisis out there is getting worse, and young people are especially being affected by it, especially after the pandemic. So having someone with her background really is, this is the time, and I'm so happy to have her. Not only do I see all of her talents, and I have seen all of her abilities at camp, but I just want to also mention that after not even a full year in the position as a full-time director, in 2023 she was recognized by the American Camp Association with the Rising Star Award. Because she is a rising star in the field and is taking camping from being roasting marshmallows over a campfire to really an experience that is making a huge impact in making people well-rounded, whole people. And so without any further ado, I want to introduce Olivia Mackey as our speaker today.
Hi, everyone. I want to continue to welcome you, as Tess shared, and welcome you to First Friday. Thank you for being here today. I also want to extend a thank you to Tess for the kind words and also to the First Friday planning team for inviting me to speak today, and Lori as well for suggesting a presentation about camp and giving me the opportunity to share a little bit more about what we do. The slides are kind of to my left over here, kind of throughout my discussion today. So just a warning, I naturally have a tendency to talk fast, and most of my speaking working at a camp is in front of campfires and things like that, so I'm going to do my best to speak slowly, but as it was mentioned at the beginning, if there's any questions or things that I can clarify at the end, I'm happy to do so. You can jot those down on the papers at your table. So, as it was mentioned, my name is Olivia and I'm the camp director, and I'm talking about my job, yes, but my job I think means a little bit more to me than perhaps someone else's job might mean to them. And when you hear the term summer camp, you might naturally, you know, get a picture in your head or make some assumptions about what we do, but I think the term summer camp is limiting. I don't think that truly captures all that we do at camp. We're really more than that, and we have a large impact on a lot of people. So I'm going to be talking about, you know, a little bit about my background, camp's history, a little bit about the research and why camps are such a great place for young people. But hopefully I hope to convey just what makes camp such a special place, and not just my heart, but the hearts of a lot of other people. So to share a little bit more about me, I grew up in Medina. I went to Medina City Schools, and I'm the oldest of three girls. A passion of mine outside of camp is horses. So I started riding when I was 5, and I got a horse at 12, and I still have her. Her name's Shiza. So I started, you know, riding horses very young, and I loved it. I don't think I realized the amount of work that it takes to have a horse. You know, the cleaning stalls, the feeding, you know, especially in cold Ohio winters. But it was a really great learning experience for me, having that responsibility to care for something outside of myself. So my history at camp started with my mother. So she grew up camping and then started working there at 15. We don't hire that young anymore. But she continued to work there for a period of time. And then when she started to have a family, I started camping when I was in diapers. So I started going to family camp when I was a young child. And this was our Disney World. This was what we looked forward to every year. We counted down the days until June. And a lot of people didn't understand it. My dad was one of them. He would he was not a camp person. He tried to convince us, you know, hey, why don't we go to the beach or, you know, go to an amusement park, something like that. But if it was between that and camp, we weren't going to hear it. Camp always won. So I would try to explain to people what made camp special, and a lot of people didn't understand why. They focused on, you know, why would you want to go somewhere without air conditioning? You know, there's no bells and whistles like water slides and roller coasters, and there's lots of bugs. You know, there's a smelly lake. but I think that they didn't see what was beneath the surface, and I don't think I truly realized the value of camp until I was older, too. The setting in nature and the great people that are there that are brought together by a common faith. And not having that technology really allowed us to be present and in the moment and just appreciate being with each other. So I was a part of, I was there with my family, but I was a part of a bigger sense of family. There's a bigger sense of belonging at camp, just being one big family as a whole. Like, you know, many children and teenagers growing up, I didn't really feel like I had a place that I fit in. I didn't feel like I was accepted in a lot of other areas, but I had that at camp. I could, you know, be Olivia and be accepted. And a lot of other people, you know, share same things about why they like camp. When you go to camp, when you walk through the camp gates, it doesn't matter, you know, your background, how much money you have, or you know, what sports you play. Like, the outside things that society values, I think it strips that away, and you just see people for who they truly are, and they're just accepted and wanted there. So all of these things, you know, really leads to lifelong friendships and memories, and I don't think a lot of people realize that when they go into the experience. They don't think they're going to come out with something that meaningful. And that also applies to me. So when I was 18, I applied to work at camp and was hired. And even though I camped there my whole life, I was incredibly nervous. I was very hesitant. And after training, I almost quit. I was like, this isn't for me. You know, I want out. thankfully, you know, after speaking with family and friends, they convinced me otherwise. And I've been working there, as Tess mentioned, for the past 8 years. You know, camp really helped me to learn about hard work and how to deal with life's challenges. And I think it also helped me realize what I wanted to do with my life. And that was to work with kids, to help people, and to make a difference. And thankfully, I get to do that at camp. So I have my degree in sociology and psychology from Walsh University. And then I loved Walsh so much, I stayed there for graduate school and got my master's in clinical counseling and school counseling. And as Tess mentioned, I have my license for those as well. During that time, I interned at Orville City Schools and also Akron Children's in their partial hospitalization program. And throughout that time, I was still working at camp, and then upon graduating, took the full-time role and have been there for the past two seasons. I had a very different career path in mind. I didn't think that this would be where I ended up, you know, looking back to growing up as a camper. But I think God had a different plan for me, and I'm very grateful that I'm here today. And I'm also very blessed to be in my position and just thankful for the great camp team that I have, you know, both with our full-time staff and our seasonal counselors that help us to continue camp's mission. So I have the mission and vision on the screen, kind of over there, but a shorter way to share our mission is providing help, creating hope, and serving all. And so Camp Christopher is a part of Catholic Charities. There's a lot of different programs, with camp being one of them. And our faith compels us, as Jesus taught, to regard every child made in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, they're entitled to our care and concern. Despite the faith tradition of those we serve, we hope and pray that everyone who enters the camp gates, no matter what their religious background, they really have a positive experience embracing our Catholic values and Catholic practices at camp. A substantial amount of the children who do come to camp are Catholic, and I would say the same goes for our staff as well. But as we know, less people are attending Mass, perhaps, is what they once used to. So this might be their first experience, you know, attending Mass, or maybe they haven't been in a long time. And we feel it's important to show that, you know, being Catholic, it involves that formal practice of attending Mass. So we're having a really powerful, you know, experience with these children because they're in a safe place with positive role models to learn about faith. The Catholic Social Foundation is the teaching of everything that we do at camp, and I really think that this is what elevates us to being more than just a summer camp and sets us apart from some other programs, too. Oh, I'm sorry. Could you back up? Sorry. Yeah, no, fine. So as a Catholic organization, we embody Catholic values, as I mentioned earlier. So fundamental to the culture is dignity of every person. So whether it's a camper or a staff member, we really strive to help them be their best and reach their maximum potential while they're at camp. Catholic social teaching also calls us to place the needs of the poor and vulnerable ahead of our own. So at camp, you'll hear campers and staff say, "I am third," very frequently, and that's written in a lot of places. And I'm sure as many of you know, that means God comes first, the needs of others are second, and only then can we think of ourselves. And I've been very lucky. I have a lot of role models through camp that I think this comes naturally to them. They embrace that "I am third" mindset and servant leadership. Our staff is really a catalyst for what we do and how we reach children. And so we take our team really seriously, and we expect a lot out of them. The people who work at camp work really long hours and not for a ton of pay, but typically they're here to carry on the same love and spirit of camp that many of them have experienced themselves, and they want to pass that on to others. We really strive to create a culture based in support, encouragement, and empathy, not only for each other, but for the children and families that we serve. Next, we value diversity, and we see it as integral to perform our mission. We provide opportunity for people to interact with others from different backgrounds, and that really prepares children to practice, to live and lead in a more complex world that values fair and equal treatment. As a team, we also teach campers about love and respect, and hopefully that love and care for one another that we foster at camp really carries after their time with us and carries into their relationships with other people. And then lastly, in regard to stewardship, we're responsible for God's creation. And Camp Christopher really makes a great setting for that because campers are experiencing nature in a direct way. We have thousands of people that come through our facility every year, so it's really a necessity that we have to stress. We care about camp, so we take care of it, but we also care about the people who come after us, and we want them to have the same great experience that we had, and we want to strive to keep camp around for years to come. So as I mentioned, camp brings people together who you would otherwise not have an opportunity to meet, and that's one of the great things about it. So for me, that would be Nate, and I'm going to share a little bit about him. So he is one of our clients who attends our programs for adults with developmental disabilities. And I'll share a little bit more about those specifically later. But before working at camp, I had no experience working with this group of people. So when I started working community respite during college, this was on the weekends, I was very nervous. I was very hesitant. It was a new group of people and a new setting, and I can be a bit of a perfectionist if you know me, so I wanted to do a good job and make sure that I was interacting with the clients and doing things. So I saw someone in the corner doing a puzzle, and I was like, great, I can do a puzzle, that's easy, but it's also a place that I can hide because I'm kind of nervous. So little did I know that I would be, you know, meeting someone who the friendship really has changed me for the better, and I've known Nate for like 6 or 7 years now. So Nate, he really loves Star Wars and puzzles, as I mentioned, even if they're incredibly difficult and it takes months to complete. He loves stuffed animals. He likes fishing, as pictured here, but also like sticking his feet in the shallow end of the lake. He loves shopping at gift stores, like souvenirs, and really loves sugary foods too. So if he can get a staff member to give him like an extra cupcake or a pop, he's in heaven. He also has a really incredible memory. So one of the best memories of anyone I think I've ever met. And he remembers like really small details, like passing conversations about my family, friends, my pets. And then when I see him the following month, he'll ask me follow-up questions. He even remembers the cars that people drive, which is something that, you know, is a passing detail in my life that I don't notice. But, you know, if he sees a similar like make or model, he'll ask if they're at camp. He has a really kind friend, and if he knows that someone has a common interest, he'll bring like toys and stuffed animals from his home. Frozen's the current theme, to see people smile and make them happy. So Nate means a lot to us, and I think camp means a lot to him. And you might be surprised to know that Nate's actually one of our clients who's nonverbal, so he can't communicate with words. He finds other ways to communicate with people, and I've learned a great deal, you know, that hasn't limited him, as you can see, you know, from all the different things that I've learned about him over the years. But his disability doesn't affect how he's seen at camp or what he can do, and I think that's a really great thing. So camp has a really large history. We just finished up our 100th summer, and then we'll be celebrating the 100th anniversary next year. So I wanted to touch a little bit about kind of how it got started. So in the 1900s, the Knights of Columbus was a growing organization that was continuing to spread throughout the country where there was a strong Catholic presence. And around that time, they formed a council here in Summit County to help promote Catholic values and, you know, just provide activities and programs for the people here. World War I came along, and the Knights served in the war, but then they also raised funds for the war as well. And after the conclusion of the war, they were approached with the suggestion of making a peacetime recreation program for youth. And that's where the idea of Camp Christopher really came from. In the next 25 years, the population in Akron increased 5 times, so those recreation opportunities were also really a necessity. But they had money left over from fundraising from the war, and they bought a cottage on Portage Lakes and accepted campers in the summer of 1925. That first summer, they had about 150 boy campers and 50 girl campers. So 200 was what they served in the whole summer. And to give you a frame of reference, now we have that we have 200 children stay overnight for 1 week of camp now, in conjunction with a lot of other programs going on at once. So we've really come a long way. They didn't stay at that facility long. They quickly realized that they needed something bigger. So the following year, they leased the back of a farm. It was about 60 acres. And there really wasn't much there. There was woods and hiking trails, but other than that, they stayed in tents like the picture there, and they bathed in the creek. So really nothing fancy. Continuing on, you know, the Great Depression happened, but that didn't stop camp, which I think is a really impressive feat. The Catholic Service League at that time was operating camp, and they continued to get donations and work with priests to get recommendations for kids who were deserving of a week at camp. In 1935, the Dominican Sisters of Our Lady of the Elms actually took over running the camp and staffing the camp. And a lot of our pictures are from those sisters at the time, and the archives and stories are from them. This also worked out really great because at the time of the Depression, more women were pursuing religious life, so that helped with that staffing need too. Those sisters ensured that while the name was originally after Christopher Columbus, that it would now be after the great patron saint of travelers or Christ bearer, St. Christopher. So at the time, the facility is still not fancy at this time. There was no electricity, no plumbing. The weekly rate to camp was $6. It's no longer $6. A common meal was creamed onions and bread, which we no longer serve. And there was a swimming hole for swimming that was an actual hole that they just dug up. And if they filled with water, yes. And if the plug came undone, they would have to plug it back up and wait for the water to swim again. So we've really come a far way. The 1940s came, and there was another war. A lot of the men that were a part of the Catholic Service League, they served, but the sisters stayed back to run camp, and they didn't just do that, but they really thrived. In 1943, despite the challenges of personnel loss and hardships from gasoline and food rationing, they had their highest attended season in 20 seasons. So the sisters really had a lot against them. There were a lot of challenges up against them, but their small but mighty team really didn't let it affect them. The benefits of camp, I think, were that the group life component, because it didn't matter where kids came from. It didn't matter, their background. When they came to camp, they were wanted and accepted. And many children at that time were coming from a very impoverished background and had, one or both parents not present due to death or other causes. And the sisters also offered examples of really faithful, hardworking leadership. They did everything themselves, from cooking to cleaning to hosting the basketball game. They did it all, and they did it with a smile. And I think they did a lot for camp during that time. So continuing on to the 1950s, they actually bought a facility. So for the third time, they realized we need something bigger to hold everyone who wants to come and experience camp. So the camp team, the bishop, and the diocese bought a property on North Hametown Road, which is where we're still at. It was 82 acres at the time, and there was nothing at this site other than a house of the former tenant. You can kind of see the picture of the chimney right there. That chimney's still there and still part of our camp stories and the former tenant, as well as kind of part of the camp lore. But as I said, everything was built with their own two hands and the resources that they had. So the camp office, the cabins where the sisters stayed, the rec hall, the craft shop. You can see the dining hall over on the right. Just on weekends, they were juggling other jobs and other duties and built camp to be what it still is today, which I think is really amazing. And as someone who's still working there, and if you've been there before, you can attest to that most of the cabins still look like this and the dining hall still looks like this too, even though these pictures are older. But many camp families that were a part of this time of building up what camp is are still involved in camp today, which is also really cool. Whether that's working at camp or camping with their families or sending their kids or just supporting camp in general. And I think that just goes to the timelessness of camp and the important role it's played in personal families' histories too. So I included some more pictures here just to show some of the first group of campers and first group of staff. I like the one with the sisters on the right with the tractor. As I mentioned, they really did everything. So, I would venture to bet that even the, maintenance or yard work that needed to be done, they did it and did it with a smile. So they were really committed to camp's mission. And then just continuing on, camp just continued to grow from there. So they continued to build buildings, but also have more people camp and hire more staff, and eventually they reached a capacity of 200 people at this time, which was huge for the time, and they were advertising everywhere within the diocese. So I wanted to include an example of one of those advertisements. You probably can't see it, but it's from 1982, the one that's pictured on the slide there. And then the 50th anniversary was in 1974, and that's when they started co-ed programming. So up until this point, they had separate weeks for boys, separate weeks for girls, and then they kind of continued to add those weeks from there. So I can share a lot about the personal benefits that I've seen at camp and experienced, but there's also some research out there that backs that up as well, and I wanted to touch on that a little bit. So as we know, there's a lot of negative influences on youth today that weren't as present as it once was. So one of those more popular studies is the ACEs study, and I'm giving a brief overview, but ACE stands for Adverse Childhood Experiences, and this study looked at ACEs, which are preventable potentially traumatic events that occur from 0 to 17, such as abuse, neglect, or witnessing violence. And these are things that affect the child's sense of stability or bonding or security in their environment. And some things that can increase the risk of that or affect that are growing up in a household with substance use, caregivers who were neglected or abused, having a low level of income or education, experiencing bullying or poverty, mental health concerns, or instability due to parental separation, incarceration, or death in the family. But adding on to that, also living in communities with high levels of crime, high levels of unemployment, easy access to drugs or alcohol, low community involvement where there's few activities and frequent groups of people moving in and moving out, and that would make sense, in the sense of they don't have those ties to one another or where they're living. They don't have that investment. and also food insecurity. So we know that all these things are more common nowadays, and they can have really detrimental effects on children when they experience that. So the ACEs study showed that 65% of adults in the U.S. had experienced at least one adverse childhood experience before the age of 18. So that's over half of the people that they surveyed. And about 20% of that, or 1 in 6, experienced 4 or more. So that's really, really large. And this is an older study. I would bet that if it was to be redone now, those would be higher. The study showed that there's lasting negative effects on health and well-being in childhood, but that also followed these people into adulthood, which has even graver consequences. It affected things in adulthood like life opportunities, like education and job potential. And these adverse experiences can increase risks of things like injury, maternal and child health problems, including teen pregnancy and pregnancy complications, a wide range of chronic diseases that could lead to earlier deaths, such as cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or suicide. And ACEs are also associated with social factors of health, too. So many times, if someone has that adverse childhood experience, they're living with toxic stress, which is an extended or prolonged period of stress. And a child being exposed to that, it can affect a wide variety of things, their brain development, immune systems, stress response systems, decision making and learning, and then difficulty forming healthy and stable relationships. And that can be carried over and in adulthood look like struggle with finances, jobs, mental health, and then relationships with their own children. So it kind of just creates a cycle of some of these negative concerns from generation to generation. So I know that some of that is pretty disheartening to hear, but I think the more important piece of research is what do we do with it and how do we prevent it? So ACEs looks at risk factors, and the opposite of a risk factor is a protective factor, or something that decreases the likelihood of experiencing a negative concern or something that could have a negative impact. So we know for youth and for children, protective factors include positive friendships, peer networks, having caring adults outside of the home who serve as mentors or role models, having monitoring and supervision, having a safe, stable, and nurturing environment, having that sense of community, and then also being involved in fun, positive activities. And this summer, I actually had two adults approach me there in their 50s who shared that working at camp really changed their life because they didn't have those role models. In their personal lives, they saw different opportunities and paths that they could take from their experience working at camp, and they didn't think that they would be able to pursue without those experiences working at camp. And I think that all of these things are really enhanced at Camp Christopher because we do have that faith-based environment, because we do have that care for all of our staff and all of our campers. There's also a lot of research about camp specifically. So the American Camp Association is a national organization with more than 15,000 camps that serve more than 26 million campers annually. So the ACA is the only independent national accrediting body for summer camps. And having an ACA accreditation, it shows to the public that program is committed to upholding best practices in the industry. So for things like health, safety, risk management, and overall well-being, this isn't something that's mandatory. This is something that's voluntary, that they're choosing to kind of be the best that they can, and they're committed to that. A quote from the ACA website that I wanted to share is, "Camps have become a part of the fabric of America, conjuring special memories of hiking, swimming, friendships, and adventure for generations. When children go to camp, they'll likely come home gushing about the lifelong friends that they've made and the exciting adventures that they've had. What they probably won't tell you about are the life lessons that camp has given them, those skills that, if nurtured at home after camp, translate into a lasting self-confidence, an awareness of the importance of kindness, and a greater comfort in voicing their opinions." So there has been research in regard to summer camps, and that has demonstrated that both for children and young adults, camps promote youth outcomes. So that's primarily due to that camps provide belonging, engagement, and also action-based experiential learning. So they're involved in that learning. They have a say in how they're going about it, and we know that that can mean a little bit more and stick with them for a longer period of time. After camp, parents also shared that their children had deeper friendships and a stronger sense of community. The ACA also did a follow-up survey over the next 5 years that about 60% of the children who attended camp reported that experience helped them to be more mindful and appreciate being in the present moment. And I think that really means living instead of being on a screen. They're taking breaks from technology to develop those relationships with people, develop coping skills, and reducing those distractions, I think, are really important for both mental and physical health. There's also some benefits that research has shown for young adults who are working at camps. Camps provide unique opportunities, and there's an originality at a camp that you can't get working in an office setting or, in retail. It's a really meaningful work environment where you can firsthand see the positive impact that you have on other people, and that can really increase self-trust and confidence. And it can be just a great opportunity for skill and career development because of that. So for any high schoolers in the room, if you're approaching 18 and looking for a summer job, I hope you consider camp. I know I'm biased, but I think it's really great. And I personally see a lot of growth from counselors too when they even starting the season and ending 3 months later. Kind of in summary, when youth are given the opportunity to work at or attend a camp, they build skills like independence, leadership, confidence, academic growth and decision-making, strengthening of values, social skills, including social awareness, affinity for nature, resilience, and perseverance. And research has demonstrated that participating in structured, planned summer activities can also decrease summer learning loss, which makes sense when children aren't in school, they're going to a camp, and they're being challenged, they're engaged, they're developing their creativity and their skills, and expanding their horizons. Camps also provide the opportunity to stay physically active, which is increasingly important in a society that's more based in technology. So hopefully, there are benefits to young children, but also that carry over into adulthood. So now just to talk a little bit about Camp Christopher now, what it looks like for our programs now, and kind of where we're at today. So it's probably a little small to see, but I wanted to give you kind of a map of a bird's eye view of what the facility looks like today. So the blue areas are cabins. We have 16 of those for people to stay in. The front half of camp is for boys, and the back half of camp is for girls. The two green dots are our main program buildings. So number 14 is our dining hall where we eat, and then number 17 is the rec hall where we use it for indoor programs, and we also have our rec hall. We also have our chapel in there. And then the black circles are program areas or places that can have a campfire. So there's like archery and putt-putt and that sort of stuff. But I have more pictures and details later too. So we're accredited by many different organizations. So as I mentioned, the ACA is heavily involved in camp, and we just had our accreditation this past summer. We also have programs for children and adults with developmental disabilities. So the Ohio Board of DD accredits our programs. Summit County Public Health licenses our kitchen, our beach, and the camp in general. Our day camp is licensed through the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services. And then just being such a large facility that serves so many people, the EPA also ensures we're upholding water safety standards and things like that. So we've got a lot going on. These are some pictures of some of the more recent improvements around camp. It's really a blessing that the diocese has invested so much into children and continuing our mission at camp. We estimate about $1 million in the last 10 to 12 years in both infrastructure and program areas. So there are some things that you can't as readily see, things like septic system, electrical work, and new wells, which is impressive that it's been this long, considering when the facility was built and kind of who was building it at the time. But there's also, new things like new sheds that I have pictured up here and a new maintenance area. We're also slowly but surely upgrading cabins. We have two, like the ones pictured kind of on the bottom left, which have bathrooms in them and are wheelchair accessible. So we're making strides to reach that in future. We also have new beds throughout camp, and there's a picture there, a new pavilion in the back of camp, which we use for programming, and then we're also starting a pretty exciting project on our dining hall that will have a covered porch and a new entrance that will be great for programs in the summer and in the off season too. So we're really lucky to have such support from the diocese. I've included a lot of pictures of camp kind of throughout the presentation, but also wanted to feature the landscape. So we're located in Bath Township, as I mentioned, on Northampton Road, but Fairlawn Montrose is only about 15 minutes away, so it's really a hidden gem that we have so much in that rural area. There's 165 acres, thousands of trees, wildlife. There's also cliffs, caves, rock formations, and there's also a natural formed bridge, which you can kind of see in the far right picture. That's one of 35 in Ohio. So that's another kind of unique thing that we get to share with people. There's hiking trails, four lakes, numerous ponds and streams, and we also have a grapevine that's over 200 years old. So, you know, we highlight these things both in the summer and people when they come in the off season. But one of the special things that I love is when new people come to camp and they're in awe of some of this natural beauty, because I get used to it being there so often. And, you know, sometimes I'm so go, go, go and kind of stuck at my computer that it's a reminder for me about how lucky we are and what a blessing we truly have to have such a great place. So our summer programs are our busiest time of year. This is kind of mainly what we do. So we like to say we have programs from 5 to 95, really for all ages. So resident camp is what you would think of for a traditional, like, week-long overnight summer camp experience. Children can come from ages 7 to 16, and we separate out half the cabins for boys, half for girls. The kids will have 1 to 2 counselors that stay with them throughout the week in the cabins and also take them to the different activity areas throughout camp. Leadership camp is an extension of that, so the children can camp until 16, but they can't work until they're 18. So at 17, they can come for kind of an experience, a mix of both camper and staff. So the first week is dedicated more toward formal and informal instruction, so things like first aid, CPR, lifeguarding, you know, talking about challenging situations they might face at camp and how you'd handle them, and giving them more of a leadership role in planning some of the activities. And then the second week, they are paired with a cabin and a group of kids to be able to learn those skills, that what it takes to be a camp counselor and how to navigate those sort of situations too. Express camp is half a week, so that's for the younger group of kids who might not be able to stay a full week at camp, or maybe they're just not ready yet. And we brought this back for the first time since COVID this past summer and hope to continue to grow it, but this is for ages 7 to 12. And then last, we have day camp, and day camp is for children 5 to 12. They can come Monday through Friday, like 9 to 4. And this is a great program. I like to see the youngest kids at 5 continue that program and continue to go overnight and just watch them grow up at camp. It's really a pleasure to see. Resident camp is our biggest program. As I mentioned earlier, there's 200 kids a week in that program, and day camp's 150 kids a week. And then in addition to those two of the biggest programs, we have some smaller programs going on at the same time too. So with all that being said, there can be 500 people on site during the day at camp with campers and staff. You wouldn't notice it because we're so big and everybody's doing different things at different times. But we really get to serve a lot of people, which is awesome. One of those smaller programs is Some Fun. So this is our day camp for children with developmental disabilities, 5 to 21. And that age is increased a little bit more because typically individuals in that population stay in high school longer. So campers from Some Fun who are appropriate based on need and level of support and also age can be integrated into day camp with the typical age peers. They participate in all of the camp activities that we have. They just might look a little modified, and if there's ever an activity that they can't do, they stay back at their pavilion and you know, do things like crafts and cooking. But one of the things that I think is great about Some Fun is it allows these kids to socialize and develop like age-appropriate relationships, which is another barrier for someone who does have a disability. We had about 15 kids in this program each week. And then we also serve adults with special needs. So this is our discovery program. We brought this back for the first time since COVID. They get to spend a week at camp and do all the fun camp activities. It's a great break for caregivers and families who might not have someone who is appropriately trained or certified to provide that care for someone who has additional needs. And similar to Some Fun, this is a group of adults who have the same desires as you and I. They want to have fun. They want to go on vacation. And camp provides them a fun place to do that and develop those friendships. As I mentioned earlier, with my own camp history, we have family camp as well. So we have 2 weeks of this program where families can rent a cabin. And we have activities for all ages, including adults. And then during those times, the camp staff watch the younger kids. I find it special because the term family really extends to beyond just your relatives, to include other families and staff and friends, and also to see the generations grow up through camp. So like I said, my mom worked at camp with a group of people who all had kids at the same time, and I grew up with those kids as a camper, and then I was on staff with them, and now they're starting to come back to family camp with their own families. So it's a really great and special thing to be a part of. We also have September Song. Despite the name, it's in August. and this is for adults 50 and up, that, you know, it's just a fun, relaxing time in nature. Father Frank Bassa comes out of retirement and he celebrates Mass with us every day, and that's really cool because he was on staff at the same time as some of the other September Song Campers, so they get to relive some of those memories and share those stories with the current camp staff, and, you know, that those are just more bonds that are able to be created. And I think that's a great part about camp is, you know, being able to relate to one another regardless of the generation that you're working. So we do lots of different camp activities, the typical things that you would think of. So we've got horseback riding, we have lead lines, arena rides, and trail rides. We also have a challenge course. So there's a low ropes, which I kind of describe more as like an obstacle course. And then we also have a high ropes course that has a rock wall, a zip line, elements, and a big swing. Both of those activities really help promote like working together and a sense of community among a cabin or a group because they have to work together. That's like the part of the activities. We also have putt-putt. We have 18 holes. We have an archery range, a lot of different hiking paths, as I mentioned earlier. We do fishing, we do crafts, we also have athletics activities, we have a basketball court, a tennis court, and Gaga, which is a big popular hit. We have a lake that we swim in that's divided up into sections based on depth, and then we also have boating with canoes, kayaks, and paddle boards. And then at the end of the day camp day or the night for the kids staying for the week overnight, we do like a big group activity like the carnival or the dance, like capture the flag type activities, campfires, that sort of thing. Another important part of our schedule is Mass and prayer service. So we try to involve the children in this as much as we can. We can have anywhere up to 5 Masses during the week. And this past summer, we looked at the groups of children from each parish, the large groups, and invited the corresponding priests in the hopes that the priest and campers can kind of interact in a different setting than just at school. In the event that we can't get a priest, we will schedule a prayer service. And again, we involve the children in that planning and facilitating of that as much as we can. Additionally, we have some opportunities for the staff that are working. They are welcome to take part in confession a few times during the summer. They also have some staff prayer services just for themselves. And we do daily prayer before meals. And we also have something called a Christ Bearer Award, which a camper or staff can be nominated for someone who truly embodies the spirit of Christ and kind of going back to that servant leadership mentality in I Am Third. We have camperships where we continue the mission of sending children to camp who would otherwise not have the chance to, and we partner with organizations to do that. So we have, I'm running out of time, so I'm trying to paraphrase this. Catholic Charities Migration and Refugee Services is one of those groups. The Catholic Worker House, we also worked with Father Joe from Blessed Trinity Parish to send some groups of children to camp from St. Anthony's, and individual families can also apply for financial aid as well based on a sliding fee scale. The summer is our busiest time, but the off-season, we also have programming. So environmental education is one of the largest, where schools can come, whether it's overnight or day. The teachers can choose from a variety of topics like water, biodiversity, soil, and trees. We also talk about the importance of waste, respecting nature, stewardship, that type of thing. Groups can also rent camp, depending on what they're looking for, whether it's cabins, the activities, that sort of thing. Community Respite is another program that we offer. So similar faces from Discovery. This is for adults with special needs that come out to camp 1 weekend a month, and it's really meant to provide that break for caregivers and families who are in need. If you're interested in attending a camp and seeing what it's all about for yourself, we have a great opportunity at the end of the month. It's Saturday, October 21st from 1 to 7. It's our fall festival. So kids are welcome to wear costumes for trick-or-treating. We also have an activity area with carnival games, crafts, and face painting. We have 4 incredible bands, a variety of vendors. We also have food trucks and beer and wine for adults. If you'd like to avoid the lines, you can get pre-sale tickets online or with a QR code. And switch slide. We did this for the first time last year, and it was a really great hit. There was a lot of fun, and if you're interested or available, I encourage you to come out with family, friends. It's a great way to kick off fall. So these are just my resources, and I just want to thank you all for your attention, and I can take questions now, so thank you.
Thank you so much, Olivia, for your informational inspiring and zealous presentation. We know you love your work and it shows when we thank you again for sharing with us. Our next First Friday will be here Friday, November 3rd. Our speaker will be Christine Amer Mayer, president of the GAR Foundation. If you're listening to this podcast on our website, we invite you to join us in person. You can make reservations in three ways. Send a check for $25 to First Friday Club, Post Office Box 13291, Fairlawn, Ohio, 44334. By the way, we have board members out there getting any of your questions, too, so raise your hand. You can call our phone number at 330-535-7668 to make reservations, or on our website, make a reservation via Eventbrite. If you have signed up on a monthly basis and you are unable to attend, please make sure that you let us know ahead of time and we can work something out. The program committee has put together a great speaker schedule for next year. We have brochures out front at the table for you to take a look at. We have a variety of things. We'll have a panel of seminarians. We're going to have a musical change of pace by having the Walsh Chamber Singers come and do a presentation. Again, our Catholic high school students. We have the presidents of both Ursuline and Notre Dame colleges. And also Bishop Molesik will be here finally, we hope. The last time he was scheduled, we had a blizzard, so we didn't get to see him. But take a look at this. And we will be sending out our subscription letters, too, for folks who want to buy packages of season tickets for various events. If you're not on our mailing list, please see one of our board members so that we can get you on our email list. Now I'd like to do some recognitions. Please raise your hand if this is your first time being here at First Friday Club of Greater Akron. Welcome. We want to, as always, welcome our students. So students, give us a wave. We have students from Archbishop Hoban, Our Lady of the Elms, St. Vincent, St. Mary, and Walsh Jesuit. And I also want to recognize our board members. So board members, give us a wave. Now we're going to do the question and answer period with First Friday Club of Greater Akron Vice President Deacon William Yoho.
First question, so how do you feel that Camp Christopher is different than other camps in Ohio?
I think the main part is the faith that I think I touched on throughout the presentation, that we have a lot of people who do come that are Catholic, but also that might not be, and so they get to experience what it's like to practice Catholicism and attend Mass. And I also think the history plays a lot into that as well, kind of where we came from, and also just the group of people that come to camp at camp and work there. It really attracts such a great people, and makes it a really special group. So.
Awesome. Can you tell us what your favorite memory is in growing up at camp?
There's a lot. The first one that comes to mind is when I was a family camper. I was supposed to watch my little sister, and we went to horseback ride. My mom was like, hey, make sure you bring Hannah back with you, and I forgot Hannah. So I don't know why that's the first experience that I'm thinking of, but that stuck with me until today. So.
Okay. With being an employee, staff member of camp, what are you most proud of?
I think what the staff the camp staff are able to accomplish in one season. I think that it's really great the amount of children that we serve and the big impact that we can make. It requires a sense of teamwork and I think putting the needs of other people first. That's the only way that we can really accomplish all of that in one season. So,
what drew you to camp in the first place?
I think the family connection, but also just that feeling that you get when you're there, that sense of belonging that you have, and just being away, kind of that bubble that you experience at camp. If you've been there before, you understand what I'm talking about. Just having that mindfulness and appreciation of everything there.
What are some of your outside hobbies and interests when you're not working 100 hours a week?
I do work 800 hours a week in the summer. I like to crochet in my free time, and I ride my horse. I'm a big fan of Harry Potter. I listen to the books on tape when I drive, and just spending time with family and friends.
What would you say is the best thing that the kids take home from camp?
I think the sense that I can do it, like the sense of accomplishment. They're presented with so many challenges during the week, whether it's just putting themselves out of their comfort zone to meet new people, going on the zip line for the first time, getting to ride a horse, things they might be scared to do. But we're encouraging them to try it, and we're trying to set them up for success with it. And, hopefully they can take that sense of accomplishment and that I did it, after camp.
You're going to love this question. When is the best time to apply to work at camp?
I do love that question. We typically come out with job postings in January, February. We post a lot about it on social media, so if you're interested, I would keep an eye out there. I do highly encourage, even if you haven't camped at camp before, like I shared earlier, it's a really welcoming environment. Whether you've camped here before or you're brand new, we want you to be a part of staff. So,
which camp virtue means the most to you?
I think dignity of person, because you can really see that impact that you're making on people, and encouragement of people to just be their best selves and to better themselves. So.
What is your policy as it pertains to technology at camp?
That's a good question. It's something that I didn't touch on as much. But children aren't able to bring their phones to camp with them, and I think that that's a great thing because it forces them in a way to kind of put themselves out there, and they end up loving it and having fun with it. It's anxiety inducing, I think, at first to not have that, but we really feel that it's beneficial. And one of the only places that they really get that, because it is just becoming so much more popular. So,
what are some of the special needs for the people with developmental disabilities?
We serve people with autism, Down syndrome, physical disabilities like cerebral palsy, just a wide range of different concerns, I guess. Yeah.
For all of these people that would like to donate, how do they do that?
Well, that's very kind of you, and I appreciate it. You can go on our website and do that. You can also stay afterwards and talk with myself or some of our camp team if you'd like to. As I mentioned earlier, the generous donations of people really help continue our mission. So we're very thankful for both the groups, and I didn't really get to touch on that with the lack of time, but there's a lot of groups that help support camp too. The Summit County Women's Board is one, and Friends of Camp Christopher as well, are both really committed and have been a longstanding partnership with us to help send large groups of children, and they would otherwise not know about it or have the chance to come.
Well, thank you very much, Olivia, and thank you. You've built a great team out there at camp, and the camp is definitely heading in the right direction under your leadership. So thank you very much.
Great questions, everybody. Lots.
And you have a big fundraiser too, don't you? That
just happened.
Don't you have a fundraiser evening
for a fall festival?
That people
friends of Camp Christopher.
Yeah, that people could participate. So look for that. That's in
September.
Mm-hmm. So look for that because that's kind of a big deal fundraiser, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's now my pleasure to introduce Walsh Jesuit student Grace Campagna, who will offer our closing prayer.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear God, we thank you for your creation, which you have called us to care for together. We also thank you for allowing us to be co-creators alongside you. Let us be reminded that everything and everyone around us was created in your likeness. Give us the courage to look beyond ourselves and recognize what needs to be done in the world around us. Furthermore, give us not only the strength to notice, but to take action. Help us to remember that the betterment of any aspect of this world is the betterment of the creation to which you entrusted us. Let the graces of hope and patience, as well as a mindset of peace, be with us as we as a community work towards your mission. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Grace. We want to thank everybody for coming, and hopefully we'll see some of you here next month on November 3rd. Grab some desserts off the table before you leave. Safe travels.